at some point, maybe even today, everyone, we need a miracle. Now, it might involve our health or finances. Maybe if you were a student, you've said a prayer or two before a big test, needing a little bit of help. But there does come a time when all of us experience the need for supernatural help, whether we have faith or not. And there is a method of praying for that miracle, at least alleviate any of the stress and satisfy our souls. Well, best-selling author Anthony DeStefano explains this powerful new approach in asking God for that miracle in his new book, and it is perfectly named The Miracle Book. Anthony is joining us to tell us more about it. Good morning, Anthony. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Brenda. Love being with you here.
Anthony, as I said in the introduction, I have prayed for a miracle or two. I believe that they happen all the time. And in fact, when a whole day goes by perfectly without an issue, I think that is because a miracle has happened. But there does come time when we need some real help. And as I said, health or finances or issues with the family. And we pray for that miracle. Does God hear us? I mean, whenever we go and ask for prayer, is God hearing that? Or does God already know what we need even without us asking?
Well, that's a big question. And it's the reason why I wrote the book. And yes, I think that God does hear us all the time, but sometimes, you know, we don't even know what we're asking for. You know, our spoken prayers may be very passionate and sincere and heartfelt, but, you know, they don't always reflect the real desires and the real needs that we have. In other words, we may think we know what we want. Let's say a restored relationship, a son or a daughter making it into a prestigious college or winning the lottery or even being cured of some terrible disease. But our souls may be longing for something even more profound, like peace or freedom or security or love or significance. That's a big one. Or joy or healing from wounds we don't even realize we have. So, for instance, if you're praying to get a certain job at a big company, what you really might be praying for is what you think that job is going to get you, like greater financial freedom or a feeling of importance, a way to advance your career. But if you knew that that job was going to make you miserable and frustrated, well, you wouldn't be praying for it. Well, God can see the future. He knows that. And in his wisdom, he listens not only to the words that come out of our mouths, but also to the silent cry of our souls. That's the tension, the spoken prayer versus the soul prayer. And the paradox involved is that if God sees the two are not aligned, then he's always going to answer the deeper, truer request, not the superficial one. You know, Jesus says in the Gospels, what father would give his child a scorpion or a snake when he was asking for a fish or an egg? In other words, what father would give his child something bad when he was really asking for something good? Well, sometimes we don't even realize that what we're asking for is scorpions and snakes. And being a good father, he doesn't give them to us. So he looks past our words and to our true desires.
Anthony, I was actually taught when I am making a prayer of petition that that petition should be very direct, very specific about what my need is of the Father. Are you saying then, rather than asking for a miracle directly, that it should be more generalized?
I am not saying that. And that involves actually another paradox, the paradox that we are supposed to be precise in our prayers, but yet at the same time, very open. See, there's value in being specific and precise. Precision in prayer shows God that we trust him with the intimate details of our lives, just as we would a close friend. And if the goal of a Christian is to have a personal relationship with the Lord, and that's just not for Protestants, but for Catholics too, then we have to share those kinds of details. That's what relationship's all about, sharing. Also, when we make specific requests, we're acknowledging that God isn't just, you know, the Lord of the church we happen to belong to. He's the Lord of our families, the Lord of our finances, the Lord of our relationships and our vacations and our bedrooms. So, but at the same time, Brenda, when we're being precise, we simultaneously have to be open to God's will. And the reason, as I just said before, is that we don't know what's truly best for us. We don't even know what we really want sometimes. And we have to trust. And so much of, you know, what we want sometimes is influenced by our fear and desire and our pride and our pain and ambition. So openness to God's will shows that we trust him because he can see the big picture. He can see the future. He's already in the future. And so we have to be radically open to God's will. And that's exactly the way Jesus Christ prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said a specific prayer, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." He wanted to avoid the crucifixion at the last moment because of the pain he knew he'd go through. But at the same time, he said, "But not my will, your will." And that's the way he was able to save humanity and open up the gates of heaven for us, by being radically open to the will of the Father. And we have to do that too.
Anthony DiStefano is joining us today. So often Anthony joins us because he has a new children's book that help explain the faith. Well, today it's a book for the grown children when we are trying to ask for a miracle. His new book is The Miracle Book, A Simple Guide to Asking for the Impossible. It is available through Sophia Institute Press. Well, Anthony, we often get in this childlike way of thinking, meaning that, well, I don't want to always be asking God to give me something, a miracle, get this thing for me, that we try to negotiate our prayers, maybe thinking in our mind, well, I'll pray for this person, and while I'm doing that, I'm going to ask for something for myself. Can we negotiate prayer with God? Is it important to remember, like, we can't always be asking for ourselves, that we need to be remembering other people too in our ask?
Yeah, absolutely, because you know, sometimes we think of God as if he's a vending machine. You know, you put a prayer in, like you put a quarter in, and you're hoping to get a miracle back, like a candy bar. But that's not what God wants. He doesn't need our prayers. He's trying to build a relationship with us. That's what he wants, a relationship. And why does he want a relationship? So that we can grow, that our souls can grow. And one day, when we die, we're going to be happier in heaven because our souls are so big. They've been pushed and stretched, and that's what the purpose of our life on earth is, to push and stretch those souls to make them be able to hold more of God, so we can be more joyful in the next life. And in order to make our souls grow, it requires lots of different kinds of prayers, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of petition, the kinds that we're talking about right now, prayers of repentance, and prayers of intercession. Those are, you know, when we pray for other people, then we're showing that we understand this concept that St. Paul elaborated about on the body of Christ, that it's not just a one-on-one relationship we have with the Lord. A personal relationship is very important, but we're part of a community of believers, and that community has to help one another. So yes, you always have to be praying for other people. And when you pray for a miracle, you also have to ask others to pray for you, because that's what God wants them to do. And we ask not only our family and friends to pray for us, but we ask the saints in heaven, because they're alive right now. They're more alive than we are. They're closer to God than we are. So if you need a miracle right now, one of the things you have to do is don't forget the saints. Don't forget Our Lady. Don't forget to ask your family and friends. Don't keep your need for a miracle a secret. You don't have to tell everybody what the specific need is, but tell people to pray for your intention. God will know what it is.
And especially, I think, added to every prayer is a prayer for ourselves to accept God's will. Because you had mentioned that we don't always know what we are asking for, even when we're asking for something directly. Discernment is a part of the process in prayer petition, then, is to look inwards. Anthony, is that what you're saying? So that way you can understand.
It helps us to understand ourselves. Also, it gets rid of our frustration and our angst. My goodness, there's so many prayers I said in my life, Brenda, that I really wanted to be a doctor at some point. You know, when I was young, I wanted to be a doctor. And I prayed to be a doctor, even though I wasn't very religious. I didn't get to be a doctor. A couple of little things got in the way, like organic chemistry and integral calculus and things like that. But you know, I realized in retrospect that would have been the worst thing in the world for me to be. I would have hated all that blood. I would have hated dealing with hospital bureaucracies. I would have been a miserable person to be working all those hours as an intern. Okay, what I really wanted to be was to be a healer. That's the desire that I had. And God did in fact grant me my wish and my prayer, because I became an author of now something like 30 books, and it's possible to heal not just with a scalpel, but with words. And I can't imagine being more fulfilled than I am now. But had I realized at that time when I was younger that God wasn't saying no to me, he was saying, not yet, just wait what I've got planned for you. It's going to be something much better, much greater than you ever desired. Just give me a little time to arrange things, give your time self to get more mature, you know, and things will happen in God's perfect time.
Oh, absolutely. And to allow God to dream for us what is so much greater than what we could imagine for ourselves, and how many more lives by following God's will and becoming an author have you been able to save and heal versus what you could have done with your hands as a doctor, is a perfect example of what can be found in Anthony's new book, The Miracle Book. Anthony, tell our listeners where they can get a copy for themselves.
You know, I'm very blessed. You can get this book wherever books are sold, as they say, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The publisher is Sophia Institute Press. You can go directly to them if you like. And I always like to encourage people to patronize their local Christian and Catholic bookstores. Give those folks, those good folks, some business.
All right, perfect. Well, Anthony, it's always a great morning when you join us. Thanks so much for sharing your book, The Miracle Book, with us today.
Thank you.